there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Rhys James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium closer to their house, sacking the mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner. Firstly, by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club.
Good afternoon, Rhys.
Lloyd, these podcasts can be listened to at any time of the day.
But do you know when I'm listening to it?
In the afternoon.
3:10, yes.
So you always listen at 3:10.
3:10 on a Wednesday.
What speed do you listen on? When I listen back to the podcast, I listen on double speed.
What?
Get through it as quick as possible.
You don't.
It already happened in real time when I was there,
right,
in my own brain and
couple
eyes.
Things. I didn't realise you could listen to podcasts at other speeds.
Yeah.
And also, do you listen back to this podcast?
Sometimes when someone has said something controversial on it,
like
usually you, but also on one occasion, Michael Oduwale. And Harry will be really keen to go, guys, can you listen back to this and see what is acceptable to keep
sorry,
in?
Oh, sorry, yeah, you listen back.
I listen back pre-broadcast.
We do listen back to it pre-broadcast.
Not every time.
No. Oh, I do.
Yeah, can't be asked normally.
Okay.
Sometimes it happened too recently. I'm just like, yeah, I know. It was absolutely fine. It's not even nostalgic yet. But yeah, it's usually to check about controversy. And normally it's me saying, you should keep it all in, it's fine.
Keep it all in.
Just keep it all in, it's fine. Pretty much everything did stay in that Michael Oduwale episode, actually. So go and listen to it and you can see how controversial things can get if you let things go free.
Controversial. We're still asking you to send in suggestions of people that you'd like to see on this podcast. We've had some very good suggestions so far and we're working away, we're beavering away at trying to get those suggestions in. If there is anyone that you go, oh, do you know what? They'd be great on the podcast. Not necessarily a football
Even
fan.
And teams you want represented.
That's the thing as well.
We've had a lot of Palace, haven't we, on this podcast?
Someone said, do you know what? I didn't know anything about Sittingbourne FC. Listen to Robin Knox's podcast.
Yeah.
Still know not that much about Sittingbourne FC, but I know it exists.
We've got a QPR fan on the podcast. Good friend of mine. You know him. It's Sean McLaughlin.
Oh,
great comedian. One of the greats. One of the absolute greats of comedy, genuinely.
I went to see Sean's show, Hail Mary. It's one of the funniest Edinburgh shows I've ever seen. It was just non-stop jokes. And that is the thing. It's an absolute joke merchant. It's really funny.
But it's not like one-liner gags. It's still like stand-up. Like
it's
a lot of thought and ideas go into
it.
Yeah, it's great. He's the fucking best type. It's quite American style.
Wears a suit.
But much gaggier than an American style.
Currently supporting Ricky Gervais on tour.
Supports Ricky G. G to me.
Okay, is it?
I call him Rick G.
Do you?
Yeah, he doesn't like it, but he doesn't know about it.
How many times have you spoken to Rick G?
Zero. But I still call him Rick G.
So Sean McLaughlin is a very, very funny...
Shawnee M.
Oh, God. Sean McLaughlin is a very, very funny comedian. We wholeheartedly recommend you go and devour...
His most recent tour show was fucking amazing as well, by the way. It was better than Hail Mary, I think.
Well,
it was his best show.
Look, freedom of speech, mate. I'm allowed an opinion.
I watched it at the Leicester Square Theatre. It was absolutely sensational. It all kicked off in the crowd.
Did it?
And the good thing about Sean is, and I'm not encouraging you to heckle him, but when it kicks off in the crowd, something is unlocked in him.
Yeah.
A level of eloquence comes out of him, a visceral rage that just makes him this person who can just speak in this amazing lyrical language as he just slams people to pieces.
Don't go and
heckle him, but if you go and it does kick off, don't worry. Don't fear. He's got it in the bag.
I'm going to get myself a coffee.
No, you're not. We've invited a podcast.
Yeah, but he's... I'm going to have a coffee whilst I drink the podcast.
What?
Oh, God. Here's the episode with Sean McLaughlin. On today's podcast, we have a comedian.
Correct.
Also
podcast.
Also podcaster. Actor. Saw him pop up in something very big that I didn't expect to see him in.
Really?
Yeah.
What was it?
Have you heard of Ricky Gervais?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Have you heard of Ricky Gervais' Afterlife?
Afterlife.
Yeah, popped up
big
as
show.
A comedian
yes.
in that. Writer.
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quite rude to ask that one with a question mark.
No, I didn't ask it with a question mark. I just looked over it and just asked if Sean McLaughlin was all right with that, and he was fine with it. Football fan.
Football fan.
Key element, I think.
Key
that.
Element.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah. say that.
Yeah.
Ladies anything else that you want added to the list?
Plasterer.
Oh, are you available for that?
I'm very available. Just for your listeners.
Plastering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Plastering.
That, as in knees, if you've hurt your knee.
Right,
I can't do just, I can't do your walls.
You can do boo-boos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Kiss it better.
I've got the magic sponge.
Right, okay.
Don't mention other podcasts on this, if that's okay. Please welcome.
I'll try not to go off menu on it.
Oh.
So to speak.
Edit that out.
Oh, unbelievable. I can't believe you just said that.
Quickly.
Kevin.
Okay, right. Quick, ready to go. Nice.
Please welcome. In just a minute, is that
not
a podcast?
Podcast?
It's not a podcast.
Not a podcast.
We're looking to the future because the rest is history. It is.
We're recording on Tuesday, so it's nearly Weds.
I like it.
Come on, that's it. It isn't the Tuesday though, but it was released on Tuesday. Damn it, it was right there.
Sean McLaughlin is here. On the podcast. Hello.
Hey, guys. Pleasure. I don't know what a podcast is, so I don't really know what you're talking about, but it's really good to be here. Love chatting stuff.
You got a podcast?
I think your banter is top tier. Do you mind me saying that?
What do you mean by top
tier?
It depends
how sarcastic you're being.
I mean, it's where it's cheap. It's cheap, but it's where the people who are late to the party.
But that's the thing. A lot of people go, oh, that's top tier. But actually, top tier is like usually on a cake, it's the smallest tier.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to the... Opera House.
He's such a natural broadcaster.
If you're going to the Royal Opera House,
yeah,
top tier,
cheap seats.
Yeah. I love that. That's your. You hear the phrase top tier, the first two things you think of are cake and the Royal Opera House.
Mm. Venn diagram.
It really is.
It's the Venn diagram.
I think of a football stadium or I don't know.
Go on,
a shelf in a
yeah or a shelf.
Supermarket.
There you go.
Porn.
Or in a garage. Yeah, porn. That's why I said porn. Yeah.
Top
yeah.
tier. Oh, so you think that we're
sexy banter.
Sure. Anything to end this little riff
that you started.
How are you, Sean?
Yeah, I'm really good, man. Yeah. Really good. I like your style. Most podcasts I guest on, the host don't tend to like try and corner the guest sort of emotionally before, but you two really are. I like.
Do you think we've cornered you emotionally?
An arsehole, Reese. Of course you are.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
How we cornered you, comedian, in Afterlife?
No, I like it. I am a writer. I'm a football fan. I'm a comedian. I've listened to this podcast. Have you had many podcast guests who've listened to this?
A lot of them claim to, but then it's pretty clear within about 5 minutes they haven't. So it's yet to be seen.
Well, there's one. Yeah, yeah. Robbie Knox.
It'll be
Poppadoms, actually...
by the way, just to start us off. It'll be Poppadoms.
Still sparkling.
Oh, you know it.
You have listened.
I have listened. I'm a fan.
Voluntarily.
Well, yeah. Well, no one had a gun up to my head, or at least the gun up to my head was irrelevant. I was already listening to the podcast as I was being carjacked.
So you listen to it in the car.
I just do it in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, popping around doing errands.
And have you, when you've listened to it in the past, were you thinking, what would I do in this situation?
Yeah, I was thinking, how would I get out of this podcast if I was ever in here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've already got the exit points, sort of.
There is just one exit point.
One exit point. The only way out is through.
You are a fan of the football team, Queen's Park Rangers, correct?
That is right, yeah.
You go to a lot of the games?
I go whenever I can. I usually go to like 5 or 6 a season, more if it's a really good year. Bad if it's a less if it's a bad year, but I kind of because I've been a touring circuit comedian for so long, like Saturdays are usually off the table. So I've always dreamt of having a season ticket, but the truth is I grew up in Brighton, so it was never like a local team, so I couldn't go every week. And then you become a comedian, I find it hard to
I
couldn't
really
commit. I wouldn't be able to go to that many games. I definitely go to at least sort of 6-7
I thought you go to I don't know, maybe just from social media presence feel that you go to a lot more, but
I guess I do I've been a member every year for 12 years.
And what does that entail? It's like big...
It means I get sort of like priority tickets. I mean, anyone could get tickets. But like, I get a £1 reduction on sitting there. I was the only QPR fan in my school, apart from one kid joined my year who was a QPR fan. He hadn't been there in year seven. In like year nine, he QPR fan. I was like, I can't believe it. Another QPR fan. He got expelled pretty quickly. So that dream died.
Yeah. So would your dad take you to QPR games growing up? Or...
Yeah, loads.
Really?
That was it. It was always like the highlights of my year was, you know, every month or every 6 weeks we'd go up. And it was great. I mean, I loved it and I still do love it.
Old school behaviour? Like... Lack of behaviour.
He's trying to get your family cancelled.
What are you? Like hooligan behaviour?
Snooker ball in a sock.
Yeah, yeah, and that's just for breakfast, baby.
Lovely stuff. Now there's a podcast host.
Failing Better, available nowhere where you get your podcasts.
But were they like, you know, as a child, what kind of influence were they on you in the stands, for example? Are they like screaming at the ref, effing and blinding, or were they keeping it? You know,
it's funny that my dad's got two brothers. He's got an older and a younger. And I think my dad is like the exact middle point of them. I think his older brother's far calmer. His younger brother is like genuinely is like, he's like a Millwall fan masquerading as a QPR fan.
Right.
Like there was but also QPR's weird because there's no aggro there. It's not like an aggro club at all. But there's something about that stadium. When you go to Loftus Road, it's heaven.
I've never been. I used to live around the corner from it. I've never been to it, but I think it's the best stadium in the country.
I'm so glad you said that. So glad you said that. I'm planning to tear it down later on in this episode. Turn it into a car park. Let the old girl die a death. No, it is. It is. But there is something about like it's such a throwback that it does kind of encourage throwback behaviour in people. You know,
I like,
the way you act
that.
There, you couldn't act like that in Westfield.
Yeah,
but I guess actually, probably there's something in that, isn't it? That certain outdated views, just for you being in a place that is just outdated, like some church views are very outdated. You go, you can't say that anymore. I'm in a place that was built in 1405, so I absolutely can.
100%.
I absolutely can.
If I go to a bowling alley and it was made yesterday, I'm going to enjoy the bowling alley. If I go to a bowling alley that's from the 50s, I'm going to get my top off. I'm going to run my mouth.
Shayla, get back in the car.
I'm going to say a lot of things like they should learn the language, etc.
Oh my God. Well, forgive me because I've never been and I don't know that much really about the fan base of QPR, I suppose. I've never really thought about it. There's somewhere, it's just like there's an obvious stereotype of what the fans are like. You know, like Millwall or like Fulham, for example, being the kind of opposite. What is the stereotypical QPR fan then? What's the match day experience like?
Mullet.
Mullet. A lot of mullets. I'd say QPR at the moment, like I've been the last two home games. It's in a weird place because the fan base certainly isn't getting any younger. I mean, I'd say that. It's slowly dying out. It's sort of
COVID can't have been great.
I'd say it's the sort of fit and proper of the championship. Is that fair to say? The fit and proper podcast of the championship.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Sort of trading on past glories. Yeah, you know, yeah. Rob Beckett's gone. You've brought in Sean McLaughlin. You've made a press release, but the fans aren't buying it.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's like a lot of them were like my family, which were like a lot of Irish influence on it.
Of course, okay. Yeah.
Guinness were like the sponsor of the team for the 80s.
They were, weren't they?
Which is, I mean, that was like the perfect matching of club and brand, I think.
So many Irish bars around Acton and around Chiswick and around kind of the Oxbridge Road.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I didn't realise was such a heavy Irish influence.
It was a huge thing, like, yeah. And now, obviously, it's not as Irish an area, but it's still like, it's a nice club to support.
Mm.
There's no trouble, but it's certainly not like Fulham fans.
Yeah.
It sort of almost feels like they're not like a London club. They're almost like a club like Gillingham or something like that. But yeah, I love it. It's great.
What have been your greatest like moments as a QPR fan, like growing up, and moments that you're dying out on forever? Any finals, any eras?
It's funny.
The F1 years?
The big moment that I witnessed that's like a positive moment is the 2015 playoff final or 2014 playoff final where Bobby Zamora scored the winner in the 89th minute and put QPR back up in the Premier League at Wembley.
Yeah.
But it's I always put an asterisk next to it because that was an insane moment that probably did more harm than good to the club. Yeah. Like, they shouldn't have gone up then. They'd learned absolutely no lessons from their previous disastrous spell in the Premier League. And they somehow fluked their way into the playoffs. They were terrible in that game. They won it in the last minute. And now it's like the club is obsessed with this moment. Bobby Zamora's last minute goal. And I am. And it gives me goosebumps every time I watch it. But it is a bit like if Volkswagen kept tweeting images of like how great the Volkswagen Golf was that was announced in the year of the emission scandal. We just go, right. Yeah, it was good, but it led to the shittest period.
Yeah.
We are still recovering from that goal going in. I know that sounds weird, but it would have probably been better if we hadn't have got up. Redknapp wouldn't have stuck around and we could have lowered the wage bill a little bit.
Before we get fully into it then, how happy are you right now with the way the club is run?
Right. The club loses £2 million
a week.
A week or something like that.
It's not a week, is it?
It's something like that.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say that £2 million a year.
So maybe £2 million a month. Total soccer growth.
It's owned by
51%.
Yes.
Tune Group.
That's Tony Fernandez's.
46%.
Yeah.
And 3% for Lakshmi Mittal.
Yeah, the richest man in India who seems to want absolutely nothing to do with the club.
Yeah, well, he wants 3% to do with it.
Well, basically, the club is still primarily owned by Fernandez and his friend, who's got a name I unfortunately can't pronounce. The problem is, the club can't be run that well. It is still better run than it's probably been at any point in the last sort of 8 years. So it's weird, but they're hemorrhaging money. They were top of the league in October. They're now fifth bottom. I mean, it's not great.
Yeah.
It's not great. And the last 2 weeks I've gone and I do think it's the worst QPR team of my lifetime. It is definitely the worst QPR team of my lifetime.
Who's the current star player at QPR?
Well, they're all injured. We had like Chris Willock and Ilias Chair.
Mm. Ilias Chair is very good.
He is very good. I mean, he must regret massively signing that extension. But who are the other... I mean, who are the big names? Rob Dickey looked like he was going to be a really good centre-back for years. I feel like someone space-jammed him. I feel like Rob Dickey's playing against Bugs Bunny on some other planet somewhere.
You lost Eze. Who's in goal for you at the moment?
Sonny Dieng.
Oh,
from,
yeah.
From Senegal. He's really good.
He's really good, actually.
Yeah, he's really good.
Was he at Forest, or have I made that up?
I think he might have been, yeah.
Yeah. And your new manager... We talked about this briefly, but I didn't want to talk about it off the podcast because I wanted to really talk about it here. So Gareth Ainsworth, who is just an absolute enigma.
He is
David Earle. David Earle, your friend of mine, is his favourite manager. Essentially, he's a man that wears his shirt open down to his belly button.
Yeah.
Will have nice dangly kind of gap year beads on. His hair looks like he's in suede. But he hasn't changed his hair from 1999.
Yeah.
He wears very tight jeans and crocodile shoes.
Yeah.
I mean...
So what you're asking, are you asking for his number? Because I don't have it.
I want to have sex with him. When he was appointed, what were your thoughts? But he's a very good football manager. He was amazing at Wickham.
Yeah.
Wickham, League One team, had done one season in Championship, didn't really work out for him, went straight back down. QPR... appointed him. What were your views when they appointed him, and what are your views now, Sean?
Well, it's complicated because this is the third full-time manager of this season. This is probably going to age this episode a lot. But Michael Beale was brought in as a replacement for Mark Warburton. Now, I would have kept Mark Warburton, but I think
Mark Warburton's a very good manager.
He's very good. Michael Beale was brought in, and everything was going swimmingly. Brought in loads of cool loan signings. Turned down the Wolves job publicly and said, "No, what we're building here is fantastic." QPR go on a four-game losing streak and Glasgow Rangers take Michael Beale. And since then, I think all the players that were brought in to play for Michael Beale have basically... I mean, to say they're downing tools... I never knew what people went when they went, "Oh, they're just downing tools." And then you go and see QPR and it is like they've never met each other.
Yeah.
And so they brought in Neil Critchley, who probably would have been a good signing, but he came into... I mean, it's like announcing a new captain of the Titanic... when Leo DiCaprio is already dead. he lost 400 games in a row. And Gareth Ainsworth was, this is the key thing you have to remember with QPR always, Gareth Ainsworth was a cult hero at the club in the mid-noughties.
I didn't know that.
He played for QPR. He was my favourite player in that era, of my favourite era of supporting QPR, when they were on their arse and they came back from League One up to the Championship.
I didn't know that.
He was the wild thing on the right wing. And QPR are a vibe club.
Yeah.
QPR are not about success. It is vibes.
Nostalgia.
They are, it, you know, in case of emergency, fucking just
bring back one of the old boys.
Yeah, that's what they did. They go, right, we're going to bring back Les Ferdinand as director of football.
Gosh, they did.
They brought back Ian Holloway as a manager a second time a few years ago when things went wrong. We had Paul Furlong's son playing for us. All these vibes paper over the cracks.
We draw a line at Trevor Sinclair.
I would not draw that line.
I mean, honestly, we'll find out.
I'm not joking. There are still people on the QPR forums who say things like, I think Jerry Francis is the only man who could dig us out of this mess. I get it. You've got a mullet. King of mullets. Here's the thing. I think Ainsworth, if we don't get relegated this year, there is no...
Give him time.
I want him to succeed so much that it actually causes me physical pain. because
okay,
I love
you're like
him.
Willing, you're fully willing it to go
yes,
well.
Yes, yes.
Sean's gone to A&E. Why? That's a long story.
QPR vibes. Yeah, yeah. Something called vibes.
So it is like, it may seem like a weird appointment. I think he has made a huge shout there with his career, because I bet there was a lot of Championship clubs that would have taken him.
Yeah.
Because the job he did at Wickham was brilliant. But he came in and the interview he did was, I love playing at QPR, the R block at Loftus Road, where they're like...
So he played it. He played the...
He played the fans, basically. He played Sean McLaughlin, like the cheapest fiddle he's ever seen in his life. And he got a hell of a tune out of me, I tell you that.
Oh.
Yes, Lloyd and Rhys, breaking news just reaching us from West London, and it is that Sean McLaughlin has just been confirmed as the new owner of QPR. Now, we are trying to get a little bit more of the details of the deal, but just to confirm for you, Sean McLaughlin is now the new owner of Queen's Park Rangers.
Well, congratulations, obviously.
Thank you.
The new Vibe Ombudsman.
Vibe Ombudsman?
Thank you.
That's what they call it at QPR, I think.
Yeah,
not
yeah,
owner.
Yeah.
How much did it set you back then to get QPR?
Well, the club has got a lot of debts, so it didn't cost much. But you know, like stuff... You know, like when you heard, like, oh, Terry Venables bought Portsmouth for a quid or something like that?
Mm.
It's like one of those. Basically, I've bought the club, but I've essentially taken over the debt.
Just
so,
taken their debt on, so they've done a favour.
I've bought them for, like, £1. So I had to get a consortium together because I don't have that kind of money.
Who's in your consortium?
It's me, one of the other ones from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, great.
The guy with glasses.
Yeah, the plan is to come in, make a documentary about the club. Sort of welcome to Wrexham style, about a sort of down and out city, but mine's called Welcome to London, and it's about trying to get people to go back to London and support London. I think it's going to be a popular hit.
Yeah, nice, because everyone
loves London, don't they?
Well, everyone's like, oh, underdog London.
Yeah.
They never get much press.
Cheap to move there. Cheap to buy a pint.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll get like Sadiq Khan will be on there, be like, oh, you buying QPR is the best thing that's ever happened to London. Stuff like that.
The legacy. The vibe. That's really
nice.
Great.
Okay, so what's... The priority, top priority, once you've come in, you're the new Vibe Ombudsman / owner. What is your top priority? Are you keeping the manager for a start? You're willing him to success.
You just spent
not
five minutes saying how much you want him to be the
but
owner to the detriment
fan.
Of your...
So as an owner, are you...
I think, right, here's the problem. Part of me wants the club to be like it was when I was 15, which means that relegation to League One is actually a benefit. So in that case, keep it.
Right.
Keep everything the same. But weirdly, I'd actually almost like to sign him as a player manager because he's so exciting.
He's still really good, though.
Have you seen his guns?
He's
in great shape.
He's
and
ripped.
He still plays in a rock band every Saturday night.
He does.
Does he really?
Yeah. He plays in a rock band.
Yeah, they're called the Cold Blooded Hearts, I think. And back when he was playing for QPR, he was in a band called Dog Chewed the Handle. And apparently he never told his bandmates that he was a footballer. He just applied to be, and at one point they were offered to open for another band on tour, and he had to go, by the way, I'm a professional footballer, so I can't go on tour.
I play for QPR.
So I think I'd maybe have him as a player manager. Because part of me, I was tempted to go, ultra vibe, bring back a Francis or a Holloway. But I know Lloyd's a Grimsby fan, and on the Ian Holloway affection spectrum, I think Grimsby and QPR are on the furthest. Right.
We are absolute polar opposites.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Ian Holloway as a friend.
Yes.
And we did become friends when he came.
Really?
Well, I used to host Soccer AM on a Saturday morning. He used to do the debate on a Friday night. So he would come in. He was the nicest man you'll ever meet. And he always took a keen interest on Grimsby. I'm like, all right, mate. Bloody hell, lost to Forest Green. Oh, you didn't expect that. I'm like, oh, it's nice that he's taking an interest. And then he became the Grimsby Town manager. And I'm not to throw him under the bus or another friend, but I spoke to another friend of mine who played for QPR. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you who he is, Samora. And he said,
Adel to rap.
He's great when it's great, but when it's not great, he's not great. And when you're coming to League Two,
that's the QPR motto.
Right, it's, when it's great, when it's not great, it's not great.
Not great, yeah.
And so we don't hold him in high regard, sadly, as a manager, but as a friend, I think he's absolutely brilliant. And I could, honestly, you could spend hours in his company. Yeah. He's amazing.
You are not going to. You didn't want to take the risk because you didn't want to upset Lloyd of bringing.
I didn't want to upset Lloyd. I mean, he's already threatened me with violence.
Yeah.
This recording.
I think. You know where the exits are.
Have I?
So okay, you keep it Ainsworth.
I think I'll can keep he play it.
His,
why not?
Can he play his gigs? Are you letting him play his gigs?
All right, I'll tell you this. His band could do the halftime show.
Oh, this is brilliant.
They can do the halftime show.
They do the halftime show.
Well, who's doing the team talk?
I'll do the team talk.
So you're going to go in.
No, he could do the team talk via song.
So it's an inspirational song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This
so that's
is great.
It. He'll do the halftime show.
That'd be great.
There's a bit of North American sort of razzmatazz.
Is he North American?
No, he's not. No, but you know, that's the vibe.
Rock and roll halftime show, you know?
Bunch of 50-year-olds playing pub covers. That's what you want, isn't it?
A bunch of 50-year-olds playing Mumford and Sons.
Do you pay him an extra fee for that, or is it part of the contract?
It's a pay-to-play. He'll be paying me for the privilege. he'll be paying
it's
me. It's a bringer, he's getting paid.
Does he have to bring in 10,000 fans as well?
Yeah.
If he wants to play at halftime.
Gareth Ainsworth is still there as player, manager, entertainment.
A halftime entertainer.
I mean, if he could chip in with the catering, that would really help absorb some of the losses.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of my issues going in there is I have to basically keep a competitive team on the field while reducing the budget. So that's a challenge. So if he could do a bit of the catering, that would be ideal.
So how are you going to do that in terms of signings?
Well, I've thought about a few money-making schemes. And I've thought a bit about signings. Now, money making, this is a tough one for QPR because I think they already charge too much for tickets given the quality of, you know, it is the best stadium in the world.
Yeah.
But it is also, and I don't say this lightly, effectively a concentration camp. So you shouldn't be charging as much as they charge.
How much do they charge?
I paid £35 to go a couple of weeks ago.
Fuck off.
And it's hard to swallow that.
What do they charge at Grimsby?
£22 to £24.
Even that's too high, though. But I bet the quality of football at QPR is not as good as the quality of Grimsby.
I watch quite a lot of Championship football. Actually, the difference between League Two and Championship is vast. Like League One's this really weird, kind of like muddy area. But the difference between Championship football and League Two football is absolutely insane. I think I agree with you on this. There was a campaign going around years ago called 20's Plenty.
20's Plenty, I remember.
And I just think that it's, you know, obviously you do need to chase budgets, but I think if you open it up and go, look, everyone come here for £20. You'll fill stadiums and you'll get that money elsewhere.
Is it full, though, when you go?
No, it's not full.
It's not full.
What's the capacity?
18,500.
18,500?
Yeah, it's not full.
So you're going to lower the ticket price?
Yeah.
To?
Lloyd's said they have the gauntlet of 20 there.
But you don't have to be.
£34.99.
I think for League One and League Two, £20 is plenty.
I think sub 30.
£26.50.
Yeah, £26.50. We've got £26.50 a ticket. But also it's like you have to make money elsewhere. And I was thinking there was that, you know, that period where we were bought by the big billionaires and there was a bit of a disconnect to the club. They kept buying all these mega names. And it was a really hard, it was a weird time as a fan because...
Who did they bought?
They bought Julio Cesar. They bought Rob Green. They bought G-Sun Park. They bought Jose Basingua. They bought Djibril Cissé. They bought Christopher Samba. They bought all of these big stars. Clint Hill was still getting in the first 11 every week, which is a sign of how well they adapted.
Clint Hill and his grey hair.
But it really did that caused all the financial problems now is basically a direct follow-on from that, most of them.
Yeah.
And I think a big disconnect between the club and the fans, which I think we've sort of recovered, but it's still pretty fragile. And I'm trying to figure out the best way to sort of to kill two birds with one stone, make a bit of money, and kind of maybe banish those demons. Because I don't want to get rid of that whole era of our history, because there was the Zamora goal, there were other great moments, peppered in, of course, and a few great players joined in that era. Charlie Austin. So what I think is basically every game, you can pay £5, you can enter a raffle. If you come to the game, £5, you enter a raffle. All the money goes to the club, and the winner of the raffle at halftime, during the halftime show, gets to punch Mark Hughes in the face. I think that would be a good... Or maybe it isn't even Mark... I mean, it doesn't have to just be Mark Hughes. It could be any of those sort of mercenary, uninterested gobshites that really ruined it all. We could sort of lure them to Loftus Road under the auspices of, oh, you're joining the Forever Ours Club.
So it's going to have to be a different one every week, because they'll realise pretty quickly, I keep getting punched in the face here. I think this is a weekly punch raffle.
It was a one-off, Mark.
It was just one rowdy fan. He was supposed to shake your hand. We keep getting this
every week. Someone punches him in the face. I think that would be great
if it's just him every week.
But also, some of the guys I know would buy hundreds of tickets a week. They would remortgage their homes.
Your dad and his younger brother.
Do you want to buy a raffle ticket? What's it for? Oh, to like go on for the last 5 minutes and play for QPR? No, not at all. What's it for? You get to punch Mark Hughes in the face. Yes.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
I'm going to remortgage my house.
That'd be brilliant.
But you're not paying Mark Hughes to be there. You're just tricking him into being there every week.
He's going for a three-course dinner.
Yeah, he's going for look, we'll feed you. We'll feed you. We'll feed you.
You get Kurt DeBoeuf.
Nurse him? Afterwards,
do we nurse him?
Do you nurse him back to health?
I'm not going to nurse him, am I? We're right by a hospital. We can go there. It's fine.
So he then just goes immediately to the hospital.
Yeah, but we just go, look, it's for the club,
right?
That you sort of ruined. Yeah.
QPR had my favourite nickname of a player of all time. One size
fits all.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I loved that. One size fits all.
QPR certainly do know how to pick cool names. I think I did in the same QPR 11, we had Shitu, Big Knot, and Dudu.
Shitu, Big Knot, and Dudu.
Yeah, I felt like maybe...
Sounds like a children's book.
Yeah, yeah.
Where does that come into your recruitment policy? Is it name-based? Obviously, you've got to get low cost, but is it also crazy names?
Well, look, for a start, there is a Hull City defender called Sean McLaughlin. We're signing him straight away because I feel like if I'm going to be Googling my name, Sean McLaughlin QPR, and I don't want this distraction of there being enough. It's going to confuse me a bit because I'm not very, you know, I'll be a bit confused. I'll be saying stuff like, oh, have I bought Hull City? What's going on? Where are my trousers? Why is Lloyd threatening me with a knife? Get off my land.
Butter knife.
Yeah, but it's a butter knife.
Already signing him, is that not going to... confuse it for the Google results going to be even worse.
Doesn't matter. It's great.
It might.
Or are you going to end his career?
I think if it confuses me, it confuses the opposition.
Right.
That's
you want to bamboozle.
Like, oh my god, their chair's playing centre back. What? Oh, the next thing you know, they've just been absolutely done by Sean McLaughlin, actual defender.
Yeah? Exactly. That's the story.
Yeah.
But I think also, see, part of me wants to just get the club back to those days where you feel connected to them. So you bring in your adult raps come back.
Yes.
You know your Steve Palmers. Your Kevin Gallen. But I think the thing is, I want to bring a lot of those guys back, but they're not going to be... They're probably not physically capable of playing football at the level I would want. I mean, even in their peak, they weren't really ever that good. So I think...
Oh, Tarapt had his moments, sort of five minutes a game.
He was the greatest player, the ultimate legend.
The ultimate YouTube footballer.
I think...
Yeah, real highlights, real player.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, boys. I think on the way here, I checked how many footballers follow me on social media. And it's not loads, but it's enough to fill out the rest of the 11.
Oh, so tell me. Who we got?
Because I need loyalty. And if it's a weird project to be in on. And if they're already in on me.
I love
then
that.
They'll be committed.
And they're going to be in on Sean McLaughlin from Hull City, who we made captain, because they're going to be like, oh, that's the guy that we think is funny, even though he isn't.
So have you got... Are these people have been to see... Ricky Gervais, is this why?
I have no idea.
Yeah, right.
Some of them have and some of them haven't. I don't know.
Who are we talking?
Will Hughes.
Right.
Will Hughes, good footballer.
Very good footballer.
Very good footballer.
Actually dominated QPR in that 2014 playoff final.
Yep.
I mean, it'd be a great honour for him. Who are the other ones? I've totally forgotten them. I mean, look, I made a list.
Please on your screen grab them.
Some Hearts player that I couldn't find, but he plays for Hearts. I know that's not much of a policy. I just say just sign a Hearts player. Chris Meppham,
yeah.
Chris Meppham, Welsh international, and I might add, family friend of the McLaughlins.
Okay. Your McLaughlins?
My McLaughlins. Possibly his McLaughlins as well.
Yeah.
Gary Dicker. Now, Gary Dicker's not currently a player, but he used to play for Brighton a lot, and he follows me on Twitter.
Great. Right.
I think he saw one of my reels and really liked it or something. So we'd get him in. I mean, he is now... I think he's in his mid-40s. I think he's retired, so we'd have to get him out of retirement.
Yeah.
But I think, basically, whoever's the best footballers who are loyal to me would be loyal to the club in return.
So you're not thinking really about, often it's like, will they play for the manager? And the manager's lost the players or whatever. But the manager's basically irrelevant to this. Because
But the manager is also playing. So who's he playing for?
Right, so it all has to go up to the top. Yeah. To the very top.
I view a football club like... I think like the way the Soviet Union was run is how all football clubs should be run. It's top down. It's agricultural.
Yeah, okay.
So do you think you'll get an influx of people following you now, like in the hope that they might get signed to QPR?
Oh, 100%. A lot of free agents. And you know what? Let them. So that'd be great.
Is this all a ruse? Is this all a racket to get your follower count up?
Well,
with just footballers.
Yeah.
With just footballers.
Of course it is. So is everything. So is doing this fucking podcast.
Yeah.
I just want to get the followers up. But look, it's not just about me. But genuinely, any agents listening to this, if you want your players to get a guaranteed sight unseen contract, follow Sean McLaughlin, at Sean McLaughlin Comedian on Instagram, at Sean McLaughlin on Twitter, at QAnon69 on Facebook. Don't ask. Get him in there.
Would you have to change your handle that when you become the owner of QPR? So it wouldn't be at Sean McLaughlin Comedy, it'd be at Sean McLaughlin Owner.
Vibe Ombudsman.
At Sean McLaughlin Football Club Owner. Yeah, that's what I do.
Football Club Owner.
It's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. Hopefully someone else hasn't got that.
Sean McLaughlin Football Club Owner 1 is a bleak thing to have to type every time.
Yeah.
Are you keeping the stadium as is?
I wouldn't change any of it.
Really?
What could you... I mean, the thing is, of course you... Look, should you change it? Is it a death trap? Yes. But it's my death trap. And I go there...
And I'll go to the grave with that.
I genuinely... It's such a sad thing, but I go there and there's like a... You know how it's... You know what it's like, Lloyd, certainly. I don't know if you feel the same about the new Spurs ground because you're in that weird bit where you've just moved stadium. I feel like there's a part of me there and I don't know why. So I'd probably keep it about the same.
I love the two tiers on that away on the end stand.
Yeah, that's lovely.
QPR and Southend are the only two that I've really seen. It just looks like a theatre.
Well, they're also
or a Methodist church.
They're two behind each goal are two tier stands that frankly only need to be one tier.
Yeah.
So it's not an effective use of the space whatsoever.
No, it's not.
But I suppose it is a stadium that's built within a council estate, so that makes sense.
What about within the stadium, catering and stuff like that? Obviously, you've said you want, ideally, Ainsworth to take care of the catering.
Yeah, look, I don't know what his favourite food is. He looks like he's in pretty good nick. So I'd just go, look, carte blanche. I'd give him a budget. I'd go, you sort this, mate.
Do you know what I think? Do you know what?
He's got a lot on, hasn't he? He doesn't have a lot of time to himself.
Are you joking? Half time, he's playing guitar.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
His me time. He gets to play guitar. He gets the soundtrack. Mark Hughes getting punched in the fucking face every week.
I think he eats an aubergine tagine.
You think he eats an aubergine tagine?
Yeah.
Well, I would say to that, I think you're going to the job centre if you're serving up that sort of muck.
Really?
Around my place. Look, aubergine tagine, QPR do not...
sort of muck. It is old school at QPR. Good God.
No.
I can say it.
Yeah, exactly.
It was built in the 50s.
I think, to be honest, the food situation at Loftus Road is substandard. Like... They serve Chicago Town pizzas.
No, they do not.
They really do.
No, they do not.
Excellent.
So, well, there you go.
Sounds genuinely excellent.
Oh, look at Beige Boy here.
Yeah, please.
I think I don't know what the shift should be. But look, Lloyd was surprised by that. Reese loved it. We're going after your Reese's more than your Lloyd's. No offense. So I'm going to say Chicago Town pizza. Maybe we increase that. We get rid of the pasties and the hot dogs. It's just Chicago Town
pizzas. Get some of those microwave chips in there.
Get some
McCain's.
Of
Get yeah. some of those. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to love them back
then. Rustlers.
Crinkle ones.
To be honest, all we need is one microwave.
Microwave.
All we need is one microwave.
And just like
and for Gareth Ainsworth to be willing to put a shift in at halftime.
Yeah.
And then we've done it. And then we've achieved
That's
it.
That's all you need. And you just get like the options are just the sorts of thing you could get in a petrol station at 3 a.m.
Yeah, 100%.
But no, not Ginsters. None of that stuff.
Yo, obviously Ginsters.
And it is like a petrol station at 3 a.m. in the sense that there's sort of, you have to go, you can't actually go into the stadium to order it. You have to go
window.
To like a little booth
window.
With the glass. Yeah, the window. And then you see him walking to the back, putting it in the microwave, and you have to wait for him to come back before you go, no, not that one. You've wasted 2 minutes.
And £4.
Right. Yeah.
And when is he putting the shift in? Because at halftime, he's busy. So when is Gareth Ainsworth possibly doing this?
Well,
just
between, pre-game. Between 1 and 3 p.m.
Right. So just in the pre... You can only get food pre-match.
Yeah.
Drinks-wise, that's a different thing.
Different story.
And what can you get to drink?
Well, I guess it's just like it is now, just a bottle of Carlsberg.
Top off.
Top off.
You have to take your top off.
You have to take your top off.
Like a bowling alley in the 50s.
Yeah, like a...
Okay, and how expensive is this catering? Are you making it cheap? Because, you know, you're doing cheaper tickets. You want people to be buying these Chicago tickets.
You're aiming for poor people like Reese.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Go on. Is that what you got?
Yeah, I just think you shouldn't wealth shame in today's society, Lloyd.
I'm just shaming you, a small little poor Victorian boy.
How much are you charging me?
Just to let the listener know, we are recording this in the Rhys James suite at the Ritz Hotel.
It's a lovely little pad.
I don't know. I mean, look, everyone knows that food and drink is overpriced at football.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you go.
Well, Grimsby is very good value.
Is it?
Unbelievable.
How much is food and drink there then?
Oh.
How much would a Chicago Town pizza made by the manager cost at Grimsby?
I mean, you wouldn't get that, so I'm having to use...
Yeah, you wouldn't get that.
I'm
stay at your fucking lane, mate.
This is high... I apologise.
My God, it is on the Soviet Union.
The threats have turned.
Well, look, I'd say £10 a pizza.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's legit.
For a small little...
All right, £10 for two Chicago Town pizzas microwaved by the manager of the club and lead singer of the halftime band in one.
Cheap, sounds cheap.
Yeah.
Sounds too cheap, if anything.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I think that's reasonable. I think you'll sell tons of the cunts.
Thank you.
Thank you. QPR synonymous with the blue and white hoops.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
That's surely not something you're changing, or is
not
it?
Not changing it.
No.
Keeping the kit exactly as it is, the modern kit.
I wouldn't... I mean, the thing is, it's such an enticing thing to go to one of the retro kits and to maybe bring back the old, like the Guinness kit
Guinness
I talked about
kit.
Earlier. It is so brilliant.
Just the letters. It was just the letters, Guinness.
It just works.
On the, oh God.
It is beautiful. Perfect. Though part of me, my first kit I had, and a shirt that my wife wears the shirt I had as a child when we go to games together.
Really?
We were sponsored by Compaq Computers.
Oh, I remember that.
Who now don't exist. So I'm willing to maybe sort of restart Compaq Computers just so they could sponsor it. Now, I think actually that would probably help us circumnavigate some sort of financial fair play rules as well.
Yeah.
So I'd probably restart Compaq Computers.
You'd restart the company?
Yeah, I don't know much about computers.
I don't think you have to.
Well, no, I mean, they failed once, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They failed once.
Look at Amstrad.
Yeah, exactly. What I'm looking to do is set up the Amstrad of... Well, I suppose Amstrad is the Amstrad of computers.
Yeah,
so what am I doing? that kit was made by View From, who...
Sorry, what?
To my knowledge, the only other kit that they made was that of Gladiators.
View From.
So made by View From.
I'm looking at a current QPR, well, a kit from... But got Compaq. In the corner, it says Clubhouse.
Yeah, that was briefly when the QPR kit... If I remember correctly, I might be wrong, QPR kit was made by the club.
Oh, my God. View From.
There it is,
yeah.
View From. That, now, that's,
oh
that's
my.
The season. I've got the home kit of that exact
oh
one.
Oh, my God. The away kit is... I'm looking at the away kit now. The name
God.
Kit.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That is...
It's one of the only kits I've ever seen
oh
where
my God.
The kit maker, View From, then the club crest... And the sponsor are all centered.
Yeah, exactly.
It's there's all few, in the middle
few,
of the kit.
There's a few of
like
them.
Like the Soviet Union, it's top down. It's top down, baby. Yeah. Oh my! The fans gosh. Are tops off.
You literally have a hierarchy on your shirt. Yeah,
so exactly. View From, did you know what's the history of View From?
I don't know. They made the QPR kit and they made the gladiators. They made what the gladiators
did
wore.
Gladiators famously just like leotards.
Yeah, they made the gladiators leotards and the QPR compact computers. So we'd probably have to set up View From again. To be honest, yeah. I don't know if they're still going or if they've been bought by Nike or whatever.
Can I Google that?
Yeah, look
is
up
that right?
where View From are.
Reese, you ask questions. I'll do the View From.
What are you doing mascot wise?
QPR
What's
got,
the current mascot?
QPR have got Jude the cat, who is a really good... There's a good story behind it. There was like a family of black cats that were sort of living in Loftus Road when...
Is this real?
Yeah, ended up taking over the stadium due to squatters' rights. No, they were living in... There was a family of black cats living, or like one black cat living in Loftus Road when they started going on a winning streak in like the... year 2000 or something, and so Jude the cat
and black cats. Everyone they went obviously famously good luck.
Famously
good luck to have black cats absolutely winning. Yeah. So black cat can be. Is it a black cat?
It's a black cat
called
Jude.
Jude,
named after St. Jude's, which is one of the founding.
And you
founding
are keeping
what, sorry,
Jude
founding like
fathers.
St.
Named
Jude.
After one of the founding
one
fathers.
One of the founding fathers.
Jude
yeah.
Washington.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
St. Jude Washington. You remember. Have you seen Hamilton?
I didn't know.
St. Jude's was like a church or an orphanage or something like that team. And you know like how English football clubs, like it used to be a factory and now
we only
Arsenal.
Used to train on Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
I think it's like QPR used to be a church or an orphanage.
I've got an update on the View From.
Go on.
This is an article from the BBC website on the 5th of June, 2002. Former Tyneside Olympic medal winner Brendan Foster has sold his sportswear brand, View From, to Marks & Spencer, M&S, for an estimated £2
million. £2 million. So M&S will be making our kits.
M&S kits.
Well, that'll be View From branding. You know, we're not going to have M&S on.
Don't want M&S.
No.
The England team, of course, wearing all M&S gear off pitch.
Mm. Love it.
This is a popular sports brand these days. They did all the suiting, didn't they?
They did do all the suiting. You're absolutely right.
So it's not the scene, I don't think, is that lame.
No, I don't either. I thought it's interesting. He sold it on the 5th of June 2002. What a way to kick off the South Korean World Cup. What a way. Senegal won, France nil. And I've just made
really overshadowed that World Cup,
and I've just
didn't
made
it?
2 million squid
about.
Off bloody Marks and Sparks.
Is that genuinely the first game of the World Cup?
Must have been about then,
must
right?
have been about that game. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah.
So are you keeping Jude the cat?
Yeah, I'll keep Jude the cat. I like Jude the cat. Jude the cat dances as well. He's a good dancer.
So could Jude the cat dance for the halftime entertainment whilst Gareth Ainsworth is crooning?
Ideally, we'd have Gareth in there.
You want Gareth in the costume?
Ideally, I mean, would it undermine his band?
I don't think
it would
undermine his band, but I think probably quite hard to play the guitar when you've got paws.
Yeah, I agree with that, actually.
Finally, you two have come to some sort of truth.
I agree.
Whether or not a cat can play the guitar.
It's hard for cats to play the guitar. You know, they said it couldn't be done. They were right. We'll have Neil Warnock in the suit then.
Okay.
Another throwback. We'll get in Neil Warnock or something. Like he could take the hat. Take off the head.
Warnock's never getting punched.
He's never getting what?
Warnock's
never getting punched. Why would Warnock get punched?
So he's not one of the managers.
Warnock was. Okay. Warnock is like the Indian summer in that entire era. Was Neil Warnock's managerial? Because he was, you know, that was the Adil Tarap, Clint Hill mega team that was so good.
So he not put a foot wrong.
No, I love Warnock. Everyone loves Warnock.
So he gets to be the cat.
He gets to be the cat.
What are you doing club nickname wise?
The
keeping
Oops.
It? The R's?
The R's,
the Super Hoops.
The Super Hoops.
Yeah, keeping that. There's nothing wrong with that.
The Rangers, is that ever used?
It's used in chants a bit. We go see Rangers. Mm. I've heard people say it.
You wouldn't have
I
any
mean,
more?
We don't have a definitive nickname. The R's is probably the one that's used the most.
Do you say, come on, you R's?
Yeah, we say, come on, you R's.
Come on, you Hoops.
Super Hoops. I mean, the club fanzine, the fanzine is called Kick Up The R's. I wouldn't want to change that. It's a great
name. That's nice. Yeah, that's lovely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't change that. I mean, the name of the club itself, I was actually going to make a comment about. Because QPR, it is just lovely. And it's unique. And it's, yeah, I think it's quite a distinctive. QPR, I feel like, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but it's very cool. Like the colour scheme of the kit's cool. The stadium's nice. QPR, like
QPR, it's nice to say.
Sounds modern,
yeah.
But Queen's Park Rangers, because I'm not a royalist, so I think the presence of the word Queen's in there. I was trying to think maybe I'd change that to reflect the fact that a comedian has bought the club. Are you changing it to Quips Park Rangers?
Quips Park Rangers.
What do you think?
It doesn't roll off the tongue quite as much as Queens.
How about Quality Park Rangers?
Quality Park Rangers.
How about Quantity Park Rangers?
Both of those. Quality Park Rangers just sounds like...
Or
you know,
it could be just
some
like
good park rangers.
It could be
something from Yogi Bear.
That's the hope, isn't it, Reese?
It could be just park rangers that...
You have to queue to get into.
No, queue park rangers.
QAnon park rangers.
QAnon. QAnon park rangers. Have you thought about maybe not referring it to royalists, but maybe the band? And they were just... what's the
I
guy
dislike
with
the band Queen more than I dislike the royal family.
Do you actually?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Queef Park Rangers.
Queef Park Rangers.
Queef Park Rangers. Only one letter to change. You won't even notice it on the kit.
What about choir?
Not. It's less sewing to do.
Choir Park Rangers, but spelled with a Q.
How about Qatari Park Rangers?
There you go.
There you go. Sorted.
Sell up.
Qatar
Park
Rangers.
That actually flows so nicely as well.
It does, actually. I'm trying to think of other ones.
Quebec.
Quebec Park Rangers. That's lovely, don't you think?
Is that a Q?
Yeah, it is a Q. French, and that's, hey, my wife's from around there. So there we go.
There you go. Quebec Park Rangers.
We'll call them the Quebec Park Rangers because then we'd get the Canadian fans in.
Yeah.
That means we'd probably have to get back Junior Hoyler. They'd be excited if he was playing for the club again.
Would you change the pizzas from Chicago Town Pizzas to Toronto
Montreal Town Pizza. Montreal Park. There'll be Montreal Town Pizza. And Gareth Ainsworth must serve them in French. And not just French. Quebecois. So you have to learn sort of 18th century French in order to serve them.
He's got his lot going on, hasn't he?
Look, if he wants to be the manager of Quebec Park Rangers, he's got to serve his...
And he respects you so much that he'll do anything you say. That's the whole point, isn't it? He's playing for you.
Yeah, sure. That's the point.
You've already got a motto that we established earlier, didn't we? Which was, when it's great, it's great. When it's not great, it's not great.
Yeah, I think that's good.
That's going to be the motto.
I don't really get why football clubs have mottos. It's not really a thing I...
Do you know what the QPR one is?
I don't think they even have one.
Oh, interesting that you don't know that.
Is there one?
Yeah, big time.
What is it?
It is.
It's probably, honestly, I wouldn't surprise you if the motto was, QPR, we're next to the big car giant lot.
They're not next to the big car giant lot, are they?
Same borough.
Park Royal.
Apparently it's Spectema Agendo, which means let us be judged by our acts.
Yeah, we're changing that.
I don't know if that's for sure.
We're changing
that's
that
off a Facebook page.
Or it's let us be seen in action. I'm not getting the actual the translation very right, but...
We're going to change that to rectimo objecto. Let us be judged by our butts.
Let us be
good.
Judged
I think
by
that's
our butts.
Yeah.
I don't mind that at all.
As you are aware, as you're a huge fan of the podcast, mm-hmm. The supercomputer does throw up scenarios.
Yeah, this whole supercomputer
to see
gimmick,
how
I'm
you,
not a fan.
To see how you do it.
Sorry, you just used the word gimmick there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the computer's very happy about that. It's not a gimmick, it's a fucking computer, mate.
Yeah.
Format point.
Fair enough, I appreciate it.
But it does throw up scenarios. It's thrown up this one at the moment. It says, it emerges in the press that your manager has been using ChatGPT to write their team talks and do their tactics. Their team talks, of course, are in song form. So he's getting the lyrics. Yeah.
It's almost like your manager's too busy.
They're coming from ChatGPT because he's too busy. Mm-hmm. You become a laughingstock of the football world. Your coach a mere conduit to the will of a robot. Journalists at The Athletic are bashing out long reads like nobody's business on whether the human side of football even matters anymore or if VAR was the beginning of the end of managers using ChatGPT, players using VR headsets and referees designed by Boston Mechanics are all the inevitable future of the game.
Mm-hmm.
In short, you've caused an existential crisis amongst the football community. Do you try and win everyone back by sacking your manager, bringing in someone scared of all tech, Sean Dyche, or do you embrace your new role as industry leaders pushing football into the modern world?
Well, first question, how is Sean Dyche's French? Because
well,
that is very important to the multiple roles he'll have
he's
to
got
play
a lot
at the
to
club.
Do, yeah.
I honestly, knowing Sean Dyche the way I know Sean Dyche, and
which isn't at all.
I don't know
guess.
Sean Dyche. I don't know Sean Dyche. I think he would absolutely embrace having to speak Quebec French.
He could learn.
And how is he as a singer?
Are you joking? The bloke loves music. The bloke, this is not even a joke. One of our friends tried to book him for an event and he went, sorry lads, can't. I'm off to see Kaiser Chiefs at Nottingham Arena.
Yeah, it's a fan. I don't know if that makes him a good singer. He's quite a great
right, so what?
But he's got
right, lads,
of...
sorry, I can't do it. I'm the lead singer for Kaiser Chiefs.
He's got
yeah,
that.
He's
really probably got that rocky tone to his voice, hasn't he? Because he's got that kind of gruff.
I'm a big fan of Sean Dyche as a person.
It doesn't have
entity.
To be Sean Dyche. That was just an example of a tech-fearing...
Well, look, to be honest...
Roy Hodgson. His French would be absolutely unbelievable.
I think, to be honest, using ChatGPT... GPT,
whatever you want to call it,
for team talks, for that is the kind of cost cutting measure that I've been, well, I wasn't brought in, that I've basically imposed upon this poor club. So I think actually, not only is he not going to get sacked, I'm going to promote him.
Because it's so head
of catering.
He's not even head of catering.
No, he's just caterer.
He just works there.
No, he's the head of
catering. He's now head.
He's now head of catering.
Just because he's shown a bit of initiative.
I like that. I like that. And I'm going to say to him, Gareth, look, I am in charge here, and I just want you to hear it from me, the horse's mouth. Any way of cutting costs, any shortcuts you can find in any way, I want you to take them immediately. And I want you to do whatever you need to do in order to make your life a bit easier.
Okay. But how do you feel about the way football's going if you allow this to happen? Because you're essentially opening the door then, especially if this proves successful.
To all technology.
To all technology just corrupting the game. We're talking players with VR headsets on. There's not even a ball on the pitch. They're all insane.
Well, that's nothing to do with me. That's nothing to do with me. I'm just a humble man.
You're the beginning of the end.
I'm just a humble man.
You are Bobby Zamora's goal. Events well, preceding disaster.
Lovely. Look, listen. I am not going to be held responsible for the way football's already in a dire state, okay? I'm just a humble comedian. I managed to scrabble together £1 to buy my favourite team, install the manager as the head of catering, let his band play. I mean, look, if letting a man live out his dreams is a crime, then lock me up.
Well, it often is.
Famously, the prison is literally around the corner.
Yeah, well, lock me up. I've got a good view of the training ground.
That's great.
Okay, I'd say we've got all the info we need, unless you've got any rules that the players have to abide by. Any, you know, very specific things.
Any
like
final things that you
low
want to say?
Socks or no shin pads allowed or whatever.
I was thinking QPR, as I've sort of said, is sort of a vibe team. There are big moments that are in the public consciousness to do with QPR. And I think in order to maintain that sort of excitement, because I assume, you know, Sean McLaughlin's buying a football club, people are pretty excited.
Oh, yeah.
People are pretty excited out there. I mean, what is the most famous QPR goal for both of you?
How long you got?
Yeah, I need to watch several hours of highlights.
Look, there's been a number
of goals.
I think
most people would say
Trevor Sinclair, overhead kick.
Against Barnsley, FA Cup,
yeah.
Beat Barnsley 3 times that season, home and away in the league and in the cup, and Barnsley got into the Premier League, QPR didn't. But the key thing is, it's not about that.
Are they not in the Premier
that
League?
That goal was the biggest goal QPR have ever scored. I think maybe the players, maybe we sort of have a rule that you can only score overhead kicks.
Right.
Outside the area.
Going to be easy to defend against, arguably, if you know that.
Well,
but maybe if you keep
not if we build our training ground, all of our facilities, the entire build-up of the club from youth level to the reserves to the B team to the first team, the women's team, everything is built around only scoring overhead kicks. I think if we say we're going to it's the same as when Tony Pulis was managing Stoke. Whole thing was long throws.
Right.
We're just going to be really good at long throws. QPR are going to be amazing at overhead kicks from outside the area. We're going to bring in Sinclair and Andy Impey as consultants. That's it.
Great. I like it.
Yeah.
That's perfect. I mean, what an exciting team to watch. Or we'll never score a goal.
It's going to be very exciting.
It's going to be the most glamorous. You're going to win the best goal of the season every goal. Literally the list of best goal of the season to vote on of whatever league you're in by this point is just going to be QPR goals.
100%.
Or you won't score a goal all season.
How many overhead kicks have you scored this season?
Yeah.
0. Brilliant.
I'm having a bad year. So
it's not come in yet.
So you do the maths.
The training, you know, it hasn't done any training yet.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying.
I think there is a direct correlation between the amount of overhead kicks you score and how many goals you score.
Yeah.
So there you go.
That might be the new motto.
Yeah, that's a good motto.
That might be the new motto.
Okay, well, now it's time for your favourite bit of the podcast, Sean, where the data gets entered into the supercomputer and it decides whether you're a fit and proper person to run a football.
By the way, if you're looking for a new supercomputer, I run Compaq.
Oh, interesting.
That just sounds like a normal computer and not a supercomputer.
Oh, that's fair.
We're in
fair
talks
enough
with Amstrad at the moment. Anyway.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Fair enough.
Smoke is coming out of Sean's ears and the computer.
Whoa, there you go.
What's it saying, Lloyd? What's the verdict?
It's difficult to... I, I, I,
Are you sure you don't want a new computer? Because this one doesn't seem like to know what it's doing.
Lloyd just can't read.
I struggle to read without my sunglasses on. But it's saying not fit and proper.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm really sorry. It's saying not fit and proper.
For what? For what reason?
A number of reasons.
The sort of top-down element of it was a bit dictatorial.
Dictatorial. The only.
Oh, how would you run the club?
It's a democracy.
How would you run the club from the bottom up? Yeah, you want the under 10s to start? Say, oh, you know what? I think we should do. You want the under 10s to run the shop.
Everyone would have a say.
Hey, it's not our view. This is the supercomputer.
The overhead kicks, they think, is an issue. And they
dangerous.
Think they said it's very dangerous.
Dangerous.
They're not too keen. They've just put Gareth Ainsworth in brackets slavery.
Overworked. They love the Mark Hughes bit. It loved the bit about punching Mark Hughes. Thought that was absolutely genius.
He's not. Look, all I'm asking Gareth Ainsworth to do is, has he ever played football professionally? Yes. Has he managed professionally? Yes. Has he played
guitar?
Has he played guitar in a band?
Yes. Guitar with paws on.
Has he catered?
Look, that one I admit I don't know.
Can he speak French?
It doesn't matter.
Quebec-y French.
You can learn.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're just worried about Monday
slavery. I'm surprised what the supercomputer said here. I'm absolutely shocked.
Really?
But really?
It said what it said, and we have to commit to it.
And it also said only signing players that follow you on Instagram. Mm. They just went, just seems a bit narcissistic.
Does it?
Yeah, and they just said that on the computer there.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. Okay. But look,
it's weird because that computer's been fine with like a lot less ethical stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's almost
military
like,
coups and whatnot. And yeah. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, but it's almost like we haven't had anyone that's not been fit and proper for a few weeks.
Luck of the draw.
Look, you can come back. later on and amend your ways and just see what else happens.
Lloyd, I say this with all due sincerity. I am never coming back.
Why not?
I am never coming back here.
That is disgusting. Cool.
Never coming back to the Ritz.
Yeah. Well, I think thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Reese.
Thank you.
All the best with it.
Thanks, guys. I'll see if I can buy another club.